If you have God's Word, would you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 6. Third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, then Luke. Luke chapter 6. We've been studying some of the parables of Jesus. We're going to continue on for another week or two as we get into this Christmas spirit, Christmas season. And so we're talking about the parables. We said the parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus was teaching something important. He's teaching a lesson, a life principle. And so he would give a parable to help us to understand. A parable is like an illustration. It's like an object lesson. And so this particular parable, we've all heard, we've probably used before. It's the parable of the plank and the speck. You ever heard that one before, right? If you've been married very long, you probably have used that before, right? If you've got any close friends, you've probably used that a time or two. One commentator said that he couldn't help but believe that Jesus in his humanity, as he told this parable, had to smile a little bit, right? Or maybe as he was talking to the Pharisees, he had to wink a little bit at his disciples because this was kind of a funny one, right? So someone has well said that when it comes to Christians, Christ followers, no question, in surveys, year after year, the most favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yet for unbelievers, for those who are not Christ followers, they have at least one Bible verse they know, and they like to quote. Maybe you have some in your family like that, and that is the Bible verse, don't judge me, right? Don't judge me. And we know this parable of the parable of the plank and the speck, or the plank and the sawdust, Jesus is teaching us about judging others, okay? So let's read in Luke chapter 6 and begin with me, if you would, in verse 39. Verse 39, Jesus said, Jesus told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? That's pretty obvious, right? You don't know what's going on. You can't see. You don't know right from wrong. It's dark. You're in the same shape that the other person is that you think you're trying to help. That's what he's saying, right? You're both going to end up in the ditch. He says, will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Verse 41. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And so this is exactly what Jesus is talking about, is about judging others, okay? And so this is where we want to spend a little time this morning. And I want to share with you three main thoughts, okay? Three major thoughts. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see some blanks there. But there are three major overarching thoughts that I think that Jesus is trying to teach us today. And I want us to think about. Number one, I want us to talk a moment about the misunderstanding about judgment, okay? Or about judging. Misunderstanding about judging. Now notice what he says in verse 37. Now he uses this parable to illustrate what he's teaching. Don't be judging people's little stuff in their eye when you get this big plank in your eye. And he's in the context of judging. So look in chapter 6, verse 37. In that same paragraph, in that same context, he says in verse 37, this is where he starts it off. He says, do not judge. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't judge me, right? Don't be judging me, right? That's what he says. Don't judge me, and you will not be judged. And then so he goes into this message, this illustration, this picture, this object lesson of not judging other people when we got our own problems. We got our own issues to deal with, okay? And so some would say that this is, some scholars, theologians say this is a blanket statement. You have no right to judge other people. You can't point out other people's faults. But is that really what Jesus is teaching us? Are we supposed to live that way? You know, our lost friends, our unbelieving friends, they love to tell us that we can't judge them, right? They love to say, because you can't judge, then that means that we are affirming their lifestyle. Since we can't judge them, then that means we accept their behavior, no matter how awful it may be. Since we can't judge them, then that means we have to approve of their immoral decisions. Does that make sense? And that's just not the case at all. Our world loves this idea of inclusion and equity, you know, this idea of unity. And by the way, love is love. Haven't you heard that? Who are you to judge me? They would say there's no absolutes, or they would teach relativism. Relativism is that everything's relative. You think what is right, I think what is right. Who's to say what is right? Everybody gets to choose what's right in their own eyes. So you have no right to point your finger. You have no right to judge me. And in fact, if we do judge, then they say that we're intolerant or even a bigot, right? So what is Jesus trying to say? What is he trying to teach us? Is Jesus saying that one size fits all, a blanket statement that we're not to judge? And I just don't think that's the case at all. You don't go through a day where you don't make decisions, and you have to discern. You have to judge, right? Every day, this whole book is a book of right and wrong, of trying to discern and judge what is right, my lifestyle and other people's lifestyle, of what's moral and what's ethical. And so what he's going to teach us, and this is what we need to remember, it's a warning about when we judge, how we judge, and why we judge. This is very important. Of when we judge, of how we judge, and why we judge. Okay? So take your Bibles and turn back with me. Keep your finger there. Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Now this is the same text, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7. And I want us to read just a few verses and kind of get a little different perspective on it. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. See, it's worded just a little differently, okay? Now, that is, if you're going to judge others, you can expect it to come back to you, right? Okay? All right? So he says in verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged with the measure you use. It will be used to you. So it's a warning of watch out. You're going to be hard, negative, and critical, and condemning, and you're going to judge people. You're going to be unfair about it. Be sure it's going to come back to you in the same way. Now, he does make the statement, don't judge, or you're going to be judged. But look, there are many other places where he tells us to do discern and do judge. Look in that same chapter, Matthew 7, and look down in verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15, when he says, be careful about judging. And in verse 15, he says, watch out for false prophets. Well, how do we know they're false prophets? Because we've deemed them to be false prophets. We've judged what they've said. We've discerned how they're teaching. We've looked at their theology, and we've decided that they're wrong. We have judged. And then he goes on to say, watch out for them. Don't fall for that. So it can't be a blanket statement that we have no right, no privilege to judge whatsoever. Keep going. Look at Matthew 18 real quick. Matthew chapter 18. So when Jesus says not to judge, he's not saying that we don't have the right to judge, but when you judge, how you judge, and when you why you judge. So look in Matthew chapter 18, and look with me in verse 15. Now these are, as well, this is the teaching of Jesus, just like Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 6, right? So there's got to be some kind of balance here. We have to properly understand. Look in chapter 18 in verse 15. He says, if your brother or sister sins, say sins. Come on, say it like you know what it is, right? If he sins. Now, he's not talking about if you got somebody you know that they got a bad hairdo, okay? He's not talking about their dressing was sorry. He says, if they, what? Sin, okay? If you have a brother or sister who sins, go. He's talking to you and me. You take the initiative. You've got the responsibility. If you have a brother or sister involved in sin, he says, go. And then notice what it says. Point out their fault. You ever heard anybody say, don't point your finger at me, right? That's where it comes from. You and I have the responsibility to point out their, what's it say? Fault. That's what he says. But he says to do it how? Just between the two of you, right? We're talking about brothers and sisters in the family. If they listen to you, he says, you have won them over, verse 16. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so then every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So now it's not just one judging, it's two or three more judging. And he says, verse 17, if they still refuse to listen, tell the church. So now we got everybody involved and everybody judging and everybody saying what you're doing is immoral. What you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is not biblical. And so this blanket statement that we can't judge is just not completely altogether true. We have to understand it and understand it in balance. Okay. So he says, if they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, to the church, then you start treating them like a pagan or even like a tax collector. And the tax collectors were the scum of the earth. We understand who you are and what you're all about. Turn over to John chapter 7 real quick. John chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now in John chapter 7, they had called Jesus demon-possessed. I mean, he's doing good stuff. And their judgment wasn't so hot because he's doing miracles. But he did a few on the Sabbath day, which really made, you know, got him upset. And he says, look in John 7 and verse 24. John 7, verse 24. He says, stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. So it's not that we can't judge, but we have to watch how we judge, when we judge, and why we judge. That we have to do that in a way that honors the Lord. Do you remember John the Baptist? Let me get a sip of water here, okay? Anybody tell me about the story of John the Baptist? Now, John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah, of Jesus, right? He was preparing the way. And he preached. And he preached hard. And he preached repentance. You can't keep living an immoral life and follow the holiness and the righteousness of God. And on one occasion, he told Herod that he was doing wrong with sleeping with his brother's wife. And that embarrassed him and it embarrassed his brother's wife. To such a degree, they put him in jail and eventually they had him decapitated. Was he not judging? Certainly he was judging. There's right and there's wrong. There's acceptable, there's unacceptable. And there's a time that we speak out. There's a time to say. Now look, there's a whole book in the Bible called Judges. A whole book in the Bible. And that's what they did. They judged. So is God telling us that we can't have a judicial system? What anybody does is okay. There's no morals. There's no right and wrong. There's no correct. There's no incorrect. Of course not. Jesus is telling us that we don't have to compromise our beliefs. We don't have to say that truth is relative. We don't have to say anything goes. It's not the fact that all morals and all actions are equal. No. God is a holy God, and we have to be careful when we point out other people's sin that we first take care of our own business. Does that make sense? So there's, first of all, the misunderstanding about judgment. Secondly, jot this down. There's what I would call the mistake in judging. There's the misunderstanding in judging, and then there's mistakes in judging. Look again in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and read with me again in verse 41. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Now, you don't have to be a carpenter to understand sawdust, right? You've been around people, you know, maybe even it's your grandmama's cooking and she's got flour flying through the air and you know, the little bitty speck, you think, And you can't even see it. Have you ever asked your mama, have I got anything in my eye, right? We've all done that. It feels like a rock or sand or something in there. And we want to point that out. But Jesus is saying, be careful. He says, why are you pointing out other people's little flaws when you got this big flaw in your own life? And he uses the word plank there. Some translations use the idea of beam or long, the log. The particular word that's used here was the word for a stalk. Can you imagine a corn stalk, right? How big it is compared to a little speck of sawdust. You've got this corn stalk sticking out of your eye. And that's why, you know, some commentators think Jesus was probably smiling while he's telling this story. Okay. Kind of sarcastic in some respects, you know, like you think you're all that, but in reality, you're not. And so he says, when we judge, to be careful that we're not like that. We're not to be overzealous in seeing other people's faults while we're ignoring our own fault. Now, I think he tells us this because there's at least three ways that we can err in judging, okay? Three mistakes that we can make in judging. You got that in there to get. Number one, we can judge self-righteously. We can judge self-righteously. He says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Another way of saying that, like Matthew says, if you judge, what's happened? You're going to be judged. So if you're going to condemn, then you're going to be condemned. If you're going to not forgive, then you're not going to be forgiven, okay? So we can be self-righteous. That is, we can think that we're better. We can think we're the example. We can think that we're the model. We can think, look at who I am. I don't have any problems. He says, but you've got this plank. You've got this corn stalk in your eye. Why are you worried about somebody else's little bitty problem, right? Keep your finger there. Look in Luke chapter 18 real quick. Jesus gives another parable. It's very similar. Luke 18. Go quick. Luke 18. And verse 9, Luke 18, verse 9. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, he says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So it's similar. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, we understand the comparison. The Pharisee thought he was all that. He dotted every I, crossed every T. He did outwardly, religiously, everything. But then the tax collector, they were considered the scum of the earth. They were the turncoats, right? You couldn't be any worse than a tax collector. And he said, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers and evildoers and adulterers and even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up into heaven, and he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you this. This man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who will be humble themselves will be exalted. And so we can make this terrible mistake of judging self-righteously. Like we are the judge, we're the example, and we look down on people. Secondly, the second mistake we can make in judging, not only can we judge self-righteously, but secondly, we can judge condemningly. We can judge condemningly. Look in verse 37. Again, in Luke chapter 6 in our text, he says, don't judge, but if you do judge, you're going to be judged. And then he says, do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. So if you condemn other people, guess what might be coming back to you? You might be condemned as well. And he even says there, as it does in Matthew's gospel, in the latter part of verse 38, he says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are the merciful? For there's the ones who are going to receive mercy. You're not going to show mercy. You're going to condemn other people. You're going to act like you're the judge. You're going to act like you got everything together. Listen, be careful. It's going to come back to you. And that's what he's saying, that we can condemn self-righteously. We can judge condemningly. We can make people feel like they got no hope. We can make people feel like, you know, they're less than we are. We can point out people's faults and we can judge other people and we make them think they'll never get out of this mess. There's no hope, you know, and not do it graciously and kindly. Turn to Galatians 6 real quick. I want you to see this. Write this in your text. Or write this in your notes. Galatians 6. Take a second. I want you to write that down. I want you to see this. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Find it? Galatians 6 and verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin. Now, it wasn't, hypothetical. It wasn't rumor. It wasn't somebody said on Facebook, right? If somebody's caught, you're guilty. If someone is caught in a sin, here's what it says. You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Not condemningly. Gently. Isn't that the way God treats you? Isn't that the way God treats me? He says, we restore that person gently. Then he keeps on, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So whatever happens to them can happen to us. And if we're going to judge them harshly, guess what's going to happen? We can be judged harshly as well. We're not the final judge. We're not the example. We have no right to condemn other people. We simply say, this is not biblical. This is not scriptural. Listen, he says there are a lot of people in the world that got this, all these problems, yet they're too worried about other people. And so he says, be careful when you judge, because oftentimes you can judge self-righteously. You can judge condemningly. And thirdly, jot this down, we can make the mistakes of judging hypocritically. We can judge hypocritically. That's what he says in Luke chapter 6. Here's what he says. He says, how can you say to your brother, verse 42, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourselves fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And so we can get so caught up in judging other people that we become a hypocrite ourselves. Jesus is trying to remind us, listen, when we judge, why we judge, and how we judge. Notice what he says again in verse 42. He says, how we judge, or when we judge. Brothers, let me take this speck out of your own eye when you yourself see the plank in your own eye. You hypocrite. Then he says, first, say first. See, be sure you got your business together first. When you judge, better be sure your stuff's together. Better be sure your house is in order, right? So he's speaking about when. But he also says why. We judge to help. We do want to help take the speck out of the other person's eye. We do want to help restore them. We don't want them to fall in the pit. We want to be the encourager to them. But how are you going to encourage them when you got your own problem? You hadn't dealt with your own problems yet. So he's telling us to be careful when we judge, why we judge, and how we judge. We're not judging to condemn. We're judging to restore. We're judging to help. We're judging to help get the feet on the right path. We're judging them, helping them to stay out of the pit. And so, first of all, we talk about the misunderstanding in judgment. Secondly, the mistakes in judgment. Then thirdly, jot this down real quickly. Let's talk about the manner of our judging, okay? Real quickly, the manner of our judging. Most of the parables are about the kingdom of God. We've talked about that, right? The kingdom of God is that place, that time and place when Jesus reigns and everybody is subject to him. And he's the Lord and everything is done in a Christ-like manner. Say amen to that. That day is coming. Praise God. You know the last prayer in the Bible. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But if you and I have Christ as the Lord of our lives, if Jesus sits on the throne of our hearts, then we ought to be living right now, right, the kingdom of God. And so when we judge, we need to keep three things in mind in terms of the kingdom, okay? First of all, when we judge other people, we need to have the right view of ourselves. Jot that down. The right view of ourselves. We're not the judge, okay? We're a sinner. God's the final judge. And the people that we judge and people around who see us judge need to understand those facts. I, too, am a sinner. Does that make sense? So, secondly, when it comes to our relationship of the kingdom of God and judging, we need to have the right view of ourselves, but we also have to have the right view of the others. Okay? The people that we actually are judging. They're not less than we are. They're not inferior. Listen, they're loved by God. They have worth. They have value, right? We're not to make them to feel so bad and so small that they don't think that somehow God loves them. They're created in God's image just as we are created in God's image. Jesus died for them. Listen, everything that we do should be redemptive in nature because that's who God is. And so when it comes to our relationship with the kingdom of God and Jesus being the king of our hearts, when we judge other people, we have to keep in mind the right view of ourselves and the right view of others. But we also, thirdly, have to keep the right view of God in mind. Even in judging, God is gracious. Even in judgment, God is forgiving. Even in judgment, God is merciful. Even in judgment, God is patient. Even in judgment, God is kind. Even in judgment, God is gentle. He's the great judge. And so the bottom line is that everything that we do when it comes to judging ought to demonstrate who God is. and give everybody involved the right view of God. Hopefully we're standing on morals. Hopefully the problem is that people have violated the Word of God. Hopefully it's not just a matter of your tradition or what you think, but you're standing on the truth of God's Word. Does that make sense? And so everybody involved ought to have the right view of God and His kingdom. Remember what Jesus said. We love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Listen, some will be condemned because they've rejected the truth. They've ignored the love of God. They denied the fact that Jesus died for their sins. But He came to save us. He came to redeem us. And everything that we're about is to be redemptive in nature. Remember what 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, speaking of God. It says, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's the nature of God. And when we judge other people, they're not to feel less than we are. They're not to say, oh, I have no hope in life. But they hopefully will understand how patient and kind the love of God is. And so there are times when we see a brother that's got a speck in their eye. They've got a flaw in their nature. They've got a problem in their character. We have to be careful of when we judge, why we judge, and how we judge other people. Because it says, with the same measure that you judge and condemn and not forgive, that same measure is going to be a tidal wave back to you. In fact, the Bible teaches there is only one great judge, God Himself. One day we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some will stand before the great white throne judgment, those who've never known Christ. And the Bible says Jesus gave that illustration, that parable, that just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat, one day the very Son of God will separate the lost from the saved. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? So we come to a moment of invitation, a moment of commitment. Maybe God's spoken to your heart today about something. Maybe you're like me and you jump to conclusions. Maybe you're like me and you got a critical spirit. Maybe like me, you love pointing out other people's faults. Maybe you're like me and you don't want to look at self in the mirror, but you want to judge other people. And God's lesson today is to be mindful of the graciousness and the kindness and the gentleness and the love of God. Not to compromise, not to settle, not to say anything goes, to be sure we got our house in order before we begin to point out other people's faults. You know, the Bible says we all got faults. It calls them sin. We all sin against God. And that sin, no matter how big or how small, how many or how few, is offensive to God. And the Bible teaches that our sin separates us from the holiness of God. And that's why Christ Jesus came. That's one of the reasons we celebrate. That's the reason we celebrate Christmas, because He came in the form of His Son to die as a sacrifice for our sin, that we wouldn't have to face judgment. Jesus took the judgment due to us upon Himself, and we can live in His righteousness, and we can live in His peace. Can you remember a time when you've given your heart and your life to Christ? Do you know for sure that you've already been judged in Christ? You've been forgiven and you're a child of God? Do you know for sure, certain, your name is written already in the book of life, and when you die, you'd spend eternity in heaven? I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we'll stand and sing a hymn of commitment. Today, if you need to step out and make a commitment to Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. Lord, would you just allow our hearts to be turned inward? And Lord, we ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to turn the searchlight on our hearts. The psalm writer David cried, "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any evil way in me." Lord, give us the courage and the boldness to pray that very prayer, to see if there's any evil in me. before we begin to look at faults in others. Thank you for your love and your grace for us. I pray for anyone today that might need the saving grace of Jesus, that you might convict them and show them your love. And today they might step out and say yes to you. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we sing, Have Thine Own Way? Would you let the Lord have His way in your life today?